Greetings, this is the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, Stating the Obvious podcast, Cult of Personality podcast, and Anarchy Moment podcast. Yeah. This is going to be, in theory, this is going to be a fast podcast because I'm on a time crunch today. Got to get a lot of stuff done, but I wanted to throw this Anarchy Moment out. In the previous podcast, I talked about how you don't get innovation from regulations or from restrictions or from equations, however you want to phrase it. And I did the long rant. And this is one of the things that, as an anarcho-capitalist and as an intelligent person, makes me superior to those of you who are statist, is my ability to recognize the duality of life, the duality of the universe, the duality of everything, and not the conflict duality as you see it. You know, Republicans versus Democrat, every sperm is sacred wackos versus baby killer wackos, you know, all sex is rape versus all women should be raped. You know, all the dichotomies that those of you who are statist have for the world. I, as an anarcho-capitalist, am able to transcend all of this. So here's the point of all this, is after the rant about how you can't get innovation from conformity, I'm looking at the blog situation, right, because I got to write this thing and I have these limitations that are imposed on me, which I'm not thrilled about, but, you know, there it is. You have to play by the rules. And in the act of trying to figure out how to get around the rules, I came up with a brilliant idea. Because you can only have so many words, you have to keep your word count under a particular number. This says nothing about images. So I take information that I want to convey in words, I convert it into graphs and charts, hand draw them to make them funny and hokey, and insert those into the post. Thus, the information gets in there, and I stay under the word count. And so sometimes, innovation does come out of having to have limitations. An excellent example of this is poetry. Back in the day, I used to write poetry. I haven't written any lately because I don't have anything to be sad and mopey about anymore, because now that I'm an ANCAP, I'm not all depressed and shit. And it seems to me like often poetry is so much, and not always, but a lot of poetry seems to focus on negative emotions, negative bad experiences, yada, yada, yada. You know, and it's like, oh, poor woe is me. And so when I don't have any fucking woe is me shit, then I don't really feel any inclination to write poetry, so I haven't written poetry in years. But of course, those of you who may or may not know anything about poetry, there's essentially two kinds. I mean, you have the free-form poetry, which is basically just words vomited on a piece of paper. And then, of course, you have poetry that has to follow some kind of pattern, a rhyming pattern, or a iambic pentameter, you know, a syllable pattern, something, some kind of pattern. The haiku, an example of that, sonnets. And while I did some of both, I always found writing poetry to a rhyming pattern or to a particular syllable pattern or writing haikus to be both more challenging and more rewarding, because when you have a set of parameters you have to work within, coming up with a solution is that much more of a challenge. And when you get that solution, it's a lot more fulfilling. With freeform poetry, you just splatter words on a page and it's just, most of the time, it's pure shit. You know, freeform poets don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Most of the time, it's pure shit. It's, again, another analogy is self-publishing, right? Back in the day, and I also, let me point out the duality. There are arguments against everything I'm saying. There are arguments for everything I'm saying. One of the arguments against self-publishing is back in the day when you had to go through a publisher, you had to go through a real editor. Only the books that had quality managed to get out into the world. With self-publishing, any jackass can throw some vomit onto a piece of paper and self-publish it. And again, there's an extent to which that is true. There's an extent to which it's not true, right? Eliminating gatekeepers is a good thing. Gatekeepers can perform a task of filtering the good from the bad, but gatekeepers can also perform the task of, you know, keeping out unwanted opinions, the truth, yada, yada, yada. So it does cut both ways. Of course, this is not, for those of you listening to this going, oh, look, see, he's saying regulations are good, laws are good, we need those. No, because... I'm also reading the book, what's it called, Being Wrong or whatever, I've talked about it before. They were talking in there last night, I was reading this part about how Alan Greenspan, yada yada, and everybody's like, oh, he just didn't know, his beliefs were all fucked up, we needed more regulation. I love how nobody, you know, people say, yes, you must question your beliefs, except, of course, for the belief in the state. The belief in the state must never be questioned. And what this has to do with innovation and blog writing, I don't know, but this is just the nature of the beast. Let me bring this around and end it because I got to go do shit. Well, I had something brilliant I was going to say. What the fuck was it? I hate when that happens. Oh yeah, now I remember. Here it is. Okay. When I say that having parameters to work in, having rules, having regulations as in to make things regular, you know, having a structure you have to conform to for a task can produce good things. This is not saying that laws and the state are a good thing. Laws in the sense of the laws the government makes. Because here's the difference. Writing a poem in iambic pentameter is voluntary. Right? Writing a blog post for somebody else's blog and having a limitation on the number of words, that's voluntary. When you do those things, you are voluntarily submitting yourself to those restraints, those regulations, those parameters. With the state, there is no voluntary involved. You don't have a choice to pay for the war in Afghanistan. You don't have a choice about paying for the war on drugs. You don't have a choice about having, you know, your child's penis touched by some guy who was hired off a pizza box in the airport during the TSA screening. Right? The state eliminates all choice. And that doesn't count as voluntary innovation from willfully imposed parameters.